Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So far, sermon text. Are you seated? In Christ Jesus, who has cleansed us with his shed blood, and through his word, led us to trust in him alone for salvation. Dear fellow redeemed, if you can correctly answer the next three questions, you are one of the wisest people in the world. Question one, who am I? Question two, why am I here? Question three, where am I going? It's not surprising that many people in this world have no idea what the correct answers are to those questions. They may think they know, but when they give their answers, they brag about themselves and they clearly show that they don't know the answers to those questions. Many would answer those questions by asking the question themselves. How can we know the answer? Who can know the answer? Who can say that they alone have the right answer? Well, others will say, well, it's a different answer for everybody because everybody has a different answer to those questions. Well, let's see. Who am I? Well, the world would say that we're a bunch of cells gathered together through conception that has come about after countless billions of years of the evolutionary process, and therefore I'm a creature, one of the higher forms of creatures on this earth. Some religions say that we are spirits that inhabit bodies for a lifetime, and when that body dies, we just pass on to another body. But the Lord God, through the Apostle Paul, in our text writes, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who are in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. These words are not only directed to the Christians in Corinth, but also to you and to me. So who am I? I am a sanctified believer in Jesus Christ, who is joined with other believers in Christ's church. We are blood-bought, redeemed human beings, created by God and called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And as you know, the word sanctified means to be set apart. God says apart from the rest of the world to be his children, part of his family. The terms that are all used here clearly show that God is saying that we don't do the choosing. We don't choose to be part of God's family. We don't choose to believe in Jesus Christ. God is the one who called. God does the gathering. God does the sanctifying. God creates the faith in the hearts of people. The third person of God, the Holy Spirit. Even as Paul was called by the will of God to be an apostle, so also these Corinthian Christians and you and I have been called by God to be his children, cleansed and washed and redeemed and set apart for him. We, as well as the Corinthians Christians, are though gathered with more than just each other here. We're also gathered together with a larger fellowship, with all those who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And this, of course, is the Holy Christian Church. All those who believe in Christ. So, who am I? I'm a redeemed, forgiven child of God. I'm called to be a believer in Christ Jesus, joined together with all the other believers in this world, in his church. Now, knowing this answer helps us tremendously in answering the second question, why am I here? The world would answer that question with a very simple statement. You're here to serve yourself. It's a survival of the fittest. You must be first and most importantly looking out for your own well-being, your own welfare, your own needs, and your own wants. Now, there may be others that say, why are you here? Well, you're here to serve others so you can feel good about yourself, so you can be happy, so that you can have a full, satisfied life. But God, again in his word, says to us, you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. Why am I here? I'm here to use my gifts to serve God and to serve others. Paul's not here buttering up or flattering the Corinthian Christians. He's thanking God. He thanks God for the gifts that he's given to his children, his church, all believers. And again, we see the same passive tenses used here. His grace was given. You were called. You have been enriched. You were confirmed in Christ. Clearly, God says that he's the giver. The Corinthian Christians and us were merely the receivers. Paul's setting the stage. He's laying the groundwork for the rest of his letter. Because this letter is really filled with a lot of rebukes, a lot of admonition to these Corinthian Christians. And Paul is reminding them already in the very first verses of this letter, don't forget what God has made you. Don't forget who you are. Don't go back to what you once were. Live lives which reflect that you are now a new person in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, we're to serve God in our utterance. That means in our speaking. Speak the word. Praise his name. Glorify our God. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Paul writes in the same letter in chapter 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Just like the Corinthians, we who were spiritually destitute, spiritual paupers, spiritually malnourished, in fact, spiritually dead, and could only offer God our wretched sinfulness, have received a heavenly windfall. We have received riches beyond our wildest dreams. We've been enriched with God's grace, that is his unders of love. We've been enriched with the forgiveness of every single one of our sins in thought, word, and deed. We've been enriched with the Holy Spirit creating faith in our hearts. And we've been enriched with the ability to speak this gospel message of salvation to other people. were put here on this earth for one main purpose. And it is to build. To build God's kingdom. To build His church. To proclaim the good news of Jesus' salvation earned for every single one of us. For all of mankind. You know that gospel. Many of you have been taught it since you were little babies. You know that God loves you and sent His Son Jesus to die for you. That makes you unique in this world. There are not that many of you and me that know this. As we heard last Sunday, the majority of the world is still living in the darkness of spiritual blindness, spiritual death, fear, terror, ignorance, deception, godlessness. But we've been put here on this earth for this purpose, to speak the word, to proclaim the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. All of us, every single one of us here this morning, has that calling. And all of us have that ability. Paul says that you come short in no gift. Or another translation puts it, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift. We're not lacking. We're not deprived of any spiritual gifts from God. Remember, we're not responsible for creating faith. That's God's doing. We're simply supposed to speak what we know. Tell others about Jesus Christ so that God can do His work. He tells us in Isaiah, it's like the rain and the snow. He determines where and when the rain and snow will fall and how much fruit it will bring by budding and bringing forth fruits. So also, we're just supposed to speak the word and let Him bring forth living hearts of faith out of dead hearts. So our calling is simply to share the rain and share the snow of God's word. Not make it grow. So, why am I here? I'm here to use God's gifts to serve God and to serve others. And finally, Paul answers the third question for us. Where am I going? Paul writes, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you eagerly waiting for Jesus' return? The word there for eagerly wait literally is to wait on tiptoes. To wait with excitement, anticipation. We can eagerly wait for that day, like our children wait for Christmas or their birthday, because we know on that day we will go to heaven. Not, I hope I'm going to go to heaven, but I know I will go to heaven. That's not bragging on myself. It's not boasting because of any goodness of myself. It's bragging and boasting in God's love and grace in Christ Jesus. So where am I going? I'm going to heaven and eternal life, even though the unbelieving world is headed to eternal death in hell. Paul says in our last verses that Jesus will confirm us to the end so that we stand blameless before Him, the Almighty Judge of all people. We've been washed. The spots and stains of our sins have all been washed, and we have received and have been covered with Christ's blood and righteousness. Our Savior traded places with us. He stood in our shoes as a condemned sinner, and we received His righteousness. So we can stand before God as pure as white snow. That's why we know with a surety without a doubt, every single one of us who believes in Jesus Christ will hear our Savior say to us on Judgment Day, "Come, come, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." Unfortunately, those who rejected this rescue, who did not believe in this salvation, who don't trust in Jesus Christ, will hear God proclaim to them, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Can we really believe all this? Do we only really have the correct answers to those three questions? Just us believers? Paul tells us in the last verse, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." May we never tire of hearing that one message of God's love for us in Christ Jesus, which gives us the answers to those three most important questions. Who am I? I'm a redeemed, sanctified believer in Jesus Christ. Why am I here? I'm here to use my gifts to serve God and others. Where am I going? I'm going to heaven and everlasting life. Praise God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.